Peyton, can you help me out a minute? Can you help me out at the beginning of my sermon? Just come up here. You're willing? Come on up. You're willing to help? Do you like to go shopping? Yes, I knew you did. That's why I was asking you to help. Have you ever gone shopping and used a gift card? Scrip, available in the courtyard at Bethany for all your shopping needs. Message brought to you by. All right, so you use Scrip. Have you ever seen anyone use a credit card? Yes. Have you ever seen anyone pay with their telephone? Yes. Yes. Have you ever seen anyone maybe pay with a watch? Like they hold it up? No. Your pastor isn't hip enough to do either of those things. At least not this one. The other one, he has all those kinds of gadgets. The real question I wanted to ask you is, have you ever seen anyone pay with this? It's called cash. Yeah, you say, all right. So when people pay with cash, have you ever seen anyone do that?
Yes.
Do you know why they do that? They're looking to see what's real. Can you tell if this one's real? You want to hold it and look up? Do you know what you're looking for? Oh, some of them have blue strips. Some of them, if you hold this one far back, some of them have a little image, like right over here. You can see that guy's face if you hold it up to the light. Do you know what that little image is called? Very good. It's called a watermark. All right. Well done. It's called a watermark, and it says that it's authentic. It's real. It's true. And you know, sometimes, I don't think in currency, but on some works of art where it's embedded or different pieces of paper, sometimes the watermark even tells you the identity of the person who made it, right? You know, you were marked in water at baptism. God's name put upon you, real and authentic. You belong to Him. You can go back to your seat. Thanks. And the same is true for all of us. We too have been marked in the waters of baptism. Baptism validates your authenticity as a child of God. Baptism declares the identity of the one whom you belong to. Now, one thing that's a little bit different is you can generally find that mark right on the bill. You can find that on cash pretty easily. On the believer, the child of God, at least this one, sometimes you got to look pretty hard. You got to really strain your eyes and hold it into light quite a while before you see Him in me. I'll let you determine how that works in you. But it's one of the reasons that Martin Luther once said, as God's baptized child, every morning you get up, you should drown the old Adam in you in repentance and contrition and rise up as God's own new child each and every morning. That's because even though we've been baptized, even though we've been watermarked, even though we are authentically His children, so often we return to our old nature. And it ought not surprise us that the devil doesn't let us go simply because we were baptized. As a matter of fact, you heard the account of Jesus' baptism read earlier, recorded in Matthew, the third chapter. You see the image of it on the screen. The actual art piece is hanging in our parish lounge right now. As Jesus is baptized, the text tells us, the minute He comes up out of the water, what happens? The Spirit falls on Him in the form of a dove. A voice from heaven says, "This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." That falling and that speaking, that Spirit and that work by the Father, that didn't only happen at Jesus' baptism. It happens at every baptism in His name. It happened the day you were baptized. The day you were baptized, the Spirit fell upon you. The Father said of you, my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. And even though no one saw a dove, even though no one heard the decibels from heaven, that event really happened. In the waters of baptism, God declared you to be his. Now, you know what happened to Jesus right after his baptism? Matthew ends the third chapter with those words. And he starts the fourth chapter with these. Immediately from there, Jesus went out to the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. Think about that for a minute. The devil doesn't even allow Jesus to dry off before he starts trying to stir up in him temptation and lead him astray. Right after his baptism, the temptations come, and you maybe remember them. Elevate the material, subjugate the spiritual. Turn these stones into bread and eat. You're hungry. Can you really trust that which you have not tested? Jump off that high point. And let's see if God actually catches you in his hands as he has promised. Jesus, why wait? Why go through everything you're going to have to go through? Just bow down to me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. Jesus, of course, for his part, never falters in the face of temptation, nor does he fancy anything that the devil is offering. As the baptized Son of God, he lives solely and completely in holiness and righteousness and godliness, and he walks always in newness of life. That's who he was, and that's who you are. His identity has become your identity in the waters of baptism. You've been marked in the waters. You belong to him. Sin washed away, the old Adam drowned, new life arising, his own word verifying this authenticity. Romans, the sixth chapter, you heard it read earlier by Josette. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When we were baptized into his death, we were placed into the tomb with him. As Christ was brought back from death to life by the glorious power of the Father, so we too should live a new kind of life. If we've become united with him in a death like his, certainly we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. In those words, St. Paul has two points. His purpose is twofold as he writes about baptism. The first is to let you know that the authenticity of your status as a child of God, the authenticity of you being one with whom he is well pleased, his own beloved child, rests squarely and securely on what he has done for you in Jesus. And everything he has done for you in Jesus Christ became yours in the waters of baptism. In that regard, baptism is passive. And it is promissory. At the same time, his second purpose, at the same time, St. Paul wants you to remember that as a baptized child of God, who has received all the gifts he has to give in baptism, you're called to live out your faith, to journey with him in life, even as his son did, regardless of what that means. You know, I didn't tell you one thing. Maybe you know it. I didn't tell you one thing that happened between the baptism and the temptation. Jesus didn't get out into the wilderness because he took a wrong turn. Jesus didn't find himself in the wilderness because of an accident. Matthew tells us the Spirit The Spirit, the same one that fell on him, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he would be tempted by Satan. We are called to walk in newness of life, even knowing that at some point we'll find ourselves in the wilderness where temptations are rifling at us, yet walk in newness of life, for you're the baptized child of God. Baptism is practiced and it is participatory. Twofold truth about baptism. It is passive and promissory. It is practiced and participatory. It is passive and it is promissory. God is the one at work in baptism. He came to you. His word was spoken about you. His Spirit fell on you. The grace of his Son was given to you. The power of that moment, his voice declared who you are in him. You have been united with Christ. He gave you his gifts right here and right now, his gifts of forgiveness, his gifts of faith. He promised you his future gifts of forever and ever. Baptism is passive and it is promissory. And at the same time, baptism is practiced and it is participatory. As one who's baptized, God has directed you to go to work, to follow his Spirit wherever it leads, to go for him, to go in him, to go with him. Your words, your Spirit, means of his graciousness moment by moment, event by event. As his baptized child, you're to respond in trust and in love, in humility and in passion, in service and in submission. Baptism is practiced and it is participatory. I kind of think that reality is told beautifully in a story of a young child who came to be baptized, maybe 6, 7 years old. One of those kids who's always rambunctious, who you always know is around. And yet at that day, the child was very, very almost eerily quiet, almost kind of solemn. And the time came to be baptized, and the pastor did as pastors do. And as the child was finished and coming up out of the water, the child cried, "I'm alive! I am alive!" And the congregation just kind of sat there hushed, not really sure what to make of this. And the pastor, you know, jumped in, as pastors are wont to do, and said, "Yes, indeed, my son, you are you're alive. You've been given new life in Jesus. The Spirit has given you the birth of everlasting life." And the kid said, "No, I mean, I'm alive." A little bit puzzled, the pastor said, "Well, what were you expecting?" The kid said, "I was told today I was going to be buried with Jesus." And the congregation did what you just did. They started chuckling, and because they knew the child and they were living it, they chuckled even harder, and the laughter continued for a while until the kid started to cry, rather embarrassed. And the pastor paused and said, "You know what? This kid thought today he was going to die with Jesus. And he had the courage and the faith to still come forward. I wonder how many of us would have done the same." Baptism, it is passive and it is promissory. It is practiced and it is participatory. You have been united with Jesus in his death and his resurrection. And you are called to die to sin daily, to drown the old Adam and rise up with him anew. May we have the courage and the faith to practice and to participate in that passive and promised gift that is baptism. To the glory of his holy name, in which we will pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, at times it is difficult to see you and your face on and in and through us. Forgive us. Daily move us to drown the old Adam, to come to you in contrition and repentance. Daily raise us up as your beloved, baptized children with whom you are well pleased to follow you and live out those gifts you have given us. For the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.